Hi, Peter Balker here, and welcome to today's edition of The Transition Guy. Now, joining me today in the studio is William Buist, author of Intentional Mastery. Welcome, William.
Hello, Peter. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
And congratulations on your new book. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, it's a book I was prompted to write at a birthday party, and somebody asked me how I intended to pass on what I'd learned from running my business over the best part of 20 years now. And I started thinking that actually, yeah, I should write it down so that others can get the benefit of what I've learned and apply it where it makes sense for them. And over the course of the next couple of years, that's what I did. It was a very interesting project in that it forces you to really think hard about what you do know and also how to express it in a way that passes it on easily to others. So it was a bit of a to and fro. I had to write the book and actually kind of rewrite lots of it when I'd got that level of understanding much clearer in my head. And I really enjoyed it. It's not an easy thing to do, but it was a very valuable thing to do.
No, awesome. No, I can well imagine. I mean, writing is not easy at the best of times. And actually, as we look at some of the things that you kind of specialize in, one of the things I would love to explore with you today is mental resilience. Now, I've spoken about mental resilience before on a number of episodes, but given what's going on globally, and especially in the UK, in what I can... I try not to be too sort of harsh with my language, but I think when you look at what's going on in the UK, the only word I can really kind of use to sum it up is clusterfuck, to be honest with you. I mean, since the referendum, I don't think business owners have had a clear run at it. It's been a tough market for probably the best part of 5 or 6 years for people.
I agree. I think we've had the whole set of confusion following the Brexit referendum, and regardless of whether you were voting to leave or to stay, it doesn't really matter. The product of that vote was a period of time when an awful lot of things were not clear. You know, what did the vote mean? What didn't it mean? What was going to happen? And still today, you know, we're talking about the Northern Irish situation and what it means there. And so it goes on. And we've had a pandemic. We're possibly going into recession. We've got inflation back for the first time in a long time. All of these things playing on the minds of business owners, thinking, what does this mean for my business? What do I need to do?
And if you think about it, inflation hasn't been around probably for the late 70s and 80s.
Not in the way that it is today, no.
No.
It's been very benign.
So a lot of people have never experienced this. And actually, the question's going to be, really, when it comes to mental resilience, I don't know what you're seeing, but I'm seeing a lot of people lose their confidence where they don't necessarily have the skill set to navigate these challenges. And actually, it's quite a dangerous time for business owners because a lot of people out there run the danger of saying, well, I'm just going to give up.
And I think a lot of people have given up. And I certainly see that particularly, you know, and the government's talking about this too, you know, people who are close to retirement age, a lot of them were running, you know, small businesses, have been able in the better times to put a bit of money aside and have just said, you know what, this is just too difficult emotionally to carry on. I think there's a real challenge with that longer term, that if you don't look at those emotional reactions that you're having to what's going on and think about how you can be more resilient, then that's going to affect your health as well over time. And it's not just the work, it's everything to do with, you know, being able to afford the energy to heat your home and to feed your family and all of those things. We're seeing some really dreadful news around that. If that's what we focus on, it's emotionally draining. And that's, you know, the first bit of advice I would give most people is if you're running a business, focus on what you're good at, focus on where you bring real value to your clients rather than on what might be in a month's time or what might be in a year's time. And if we focus on what we're good at and stay focused on it, we'll keep delivering it and we'll keep bringing the money in that we need and we'll keep bringing in the business in that we need.
So how have you built up your mental resilience over the years?
I talk about this quite a lot in the book, actually. I've got a chapter that really talks about looking after yourself as a business owner, not just emotional awareness, but mental resilience and physical well-being as key kind of three legs of a stool, really. For me, it was sadly the death of my mother that prompted me to start looking carefully at my emotions. You know, grief is one of those things that affects different people in different ways. And for me, I realized there were a number of things that I realized and after she died that were getting in the way of me being able to run my business effectively. And I say that as if it was something that was wrong, and it wasn't wrong. It was a natural reaction to the situation. But what I learned from it was to be curious about the emotions I was feeling rather than just letting that feeling sit and dwell and cause issues. So I kind of got really practiced at observing myself,
right,
and saying things, you know, like, oh, you know, I've woken up this morning and I'm feeling really sad. You know, what's triggered that? What's caused it? Or I'm feeling really frustrated and what's caused that? And over time, I was able to kind of reconstruct the things that triggered certain emotions. So that feeling of frustration might have been triggered by, you know, invoices in the business not being paid, which might have been triggered by, you know, something like a recession going on. And so I was able to kind of identify a number of things that were important for my emotional stability. And that meant I could head them off at the pass. Now I understood what they were. So if I know, as I did at the time, when times get tough and people pay their bills late, that they're likely to pay their bills late, and that will cause frustration for me, and that has an impact on other things, that if I know people are struggling, I just reach out and get a better information about when they are likely to pay, for example. And
which is where a lot of people are right now.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I use that as an example. And I think, you know, it can be in a small business, if you're working with other small businesses, as many of my clients are, and I'm sure some of yours are too, cash flow is one of the things that can really affect a small business. And, you know, for months in a row, you can have good cash flow and be able to pay your bills on time, no problem at all. Something happens, something changes. There's a little bit of a cash flow crisis, and a lot of people go and hide. They avoid paying the bills, but they also avoid talking about it.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, I don't want to tell people that I'm a bit short of money now because they'll draw conclusions. Actually, they're going to draw conclusions anyway because you're not paying your bills. So it's one of those things, again, that by having the transparent conversation, if I know somebody can't pay me for another couple of weeks, that's okay. You know, then I'll manage that, but I now have more certainty about what is happening. So rather than getting frustrated,
right,
I can move into a different mode that's more about support and help, and thinking about what do I need to do and who do I need to tell if that's affecting my cash flow. And, you know, the difficult conversations that we imagine in those situations are often nothing like as difficult in reality when we actually have the conversation than our imagination tells us they're going to be.
Did you ever go out and seek external help when you were going through this just to help build your mental strength and work through the challenges you were going through?
Yes, I did. And I think there's a whole range of help here that people can look for. And I've known people who have looked, you know, and been involved with counselling for a long period of time after the loss of a loved one, because that's what they needed. I think we're all personal. What we need is different. For me, I had a really good group of people that I worked with. I had a coach. I have my accountant, who's a good friend, you know, and a couple of other people in the wider team in my business, who I was able to lean on when I needed to, and seek best advice. And also, they're great because they're pretty straight talking. And if I was doing something stupid, they told me. and it's what I needed, you know. So, and sometimes that kind of, you know, just quick check in with somebody that you know and that you care about, and you know, how are things going? Especially if you know that they've got some challenges in their business or in their lives. You know, my next door neighbors right now, you know, at this moment had just had a baby. I know that's going to be a really stressful time for them. Sure. So I'm looking out to see if there's something that they need. You know, maybe they need the dog walked one day or something like that. And I just think having that, the mindset of who are the people in my network, who are, of my clients, my suppliers, who might just need an arm around the shoulder right now. And when you do that, of course, when you need an arm around the shoulder to help you, they'll be there for that too.
And I know particularly right now, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are heavily in isolation, trying to solve it on their own, and probably reinforcing perhaps unhelpful thoughts, creating a whole probably environment that isn't going to help them move forward. Would that be fair?
I think that's entirely fair. And I think, you know, particularly in, you know, in a small business where you've got a few people to talk to, and quite often there'll be people doing part of the work that isn't their core skill. You know, if you're an accountant, your core skill is around accountancy, but yep. You've also got to do marketing, and that marketing is difficult if it's not your core skill. So I always will advise people to build the team around them as best they can. And of course there's costs to that, and sometimes the money's not available to do that, but to build as strong a team covering all the bases of running a business, the marketing, the sales, the operational stuff, the admin, the bookkeeping, as well as what you do in the business, the thing that actually brings value. Because the more you can have a team around you that helps you with those other things, the more you can focus as an individual on the thing that brings the best value to your clients. And we can't instantly have a big business that has all of those departments and people working in them that deliver all of that stuff. But I've always thought, you know, you've got friends, you've got a network, you've got people who can help out for short periods of time and help just to hone that skill and to talk to, you know, just to have somebody to pick the phone up to and say, I'm having a bit of a bad day. Can we just have a chat about something I'm struggling with? You know, and having the network that enables you to do that is a fabulous business resource for solopreneurs and single person businesses.
Why do you think people don't do that?
I think there's a number of elements to that, Peter, not least of which is being vulnerable is difficult. It's a learned skill. You know, I learned again, this is, I think it's probably the biggest gift that my mother gave me, and it came after her death, was the recognition that vulnerability is a sign of strength, not weakness.
So that's an interest. That in itself is an interesting quote.
You know, reaching out when something to others, when you need some support and help, it's a courageous thing to do. It says something about you and your character and your individuality, and it does take strength to do that. And the other aspect, I don't know, I'm sure that some of your listeners will have read Susan Jeffers' book, you know, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it is scary the first few times you reach out to people with a vulnerability, but do it anyway, because you'll be amazed how supportive people will be. You know, and I get emotional thinking about some of the help that I've had over the years from people that has literally changed my life, because I had the courage to say, I need a bit of help.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting.
It comes back actually to the whole piece around mastery, and this is about mastery of yourself as an individual and being the best person that you can be. And we cannot do that alone. You need other people to become the best person that you can be.
And that's interesting. It's probably what you'll find and what you've seen over the years is more time is spent mastering the business than it is mastering oneself.
That's absolutely true. And I think you have to do both. You have to do the two together. In my book, I talk about five strategies. Four of them are clearly business strategies: signposting, marketing, for want of another word, sales, systems, having the good right systems in place, and the skills that your customers value. But the fifth one is all about you as the business owner, all about self. And looking after yourself with all that we've been talking about today, building that resilience, the emotional awareness, and looking after yourself physically as well. It's, you know, if we break as business owners, the business probably breaks too.
Yeah. And I've very often seen that. Do you think it's a generational thing as well? And perhaps some of the younger entrepreneurs coming to the marketplace today are more in tune with that side of themselves and are more predisposed to working on themselves and creating a better version of themselves than perhaps other generations?
I'm not sure it's a generational thing. I think the more recent generations, the younger entrepreneurs, are probably more experimental than we were when we were there at their age. I think they've got more opportunity to try different things. It's certainly got more channels to get to market with social media and traditional channels and all of those things that go with it. And the technology that's come along with that enables people to build business models you and I couldn't have imagined when we were young. But all of that said, I still see a mixture of all of the same human frailties, for want of a better word, you know, of people being sitting in isolation, trying to do everything themselves, not wanting to show to the world that they've got a gap in their business, that's something they don't do very well, trying to, you know, lock it away and hide it rather than solve the problem. I think that some of the young people today have got a real challenge because they're, I think, bombarded with so much stuff that they can struggle to see where they add value as an individual. What is their talent? What is their special skill? But they've got lots of energy because they're younger, and they can overcome a lot of things because of that energy. But I'd encourage, you know, if you're a younger entrepreneur and you're working long hours and for, you know, long periods and not getting the results that you anticipated you or imagined that you would, to have a real hard think about what is your specific talent? What is the thing you bring that if you focused on honing that over the other things, that would probably give you the faster result than trying to master 17 different aspects of running a business.
Okay. I want to tie you back to something you mentioned earlier about the fact focusing on the things that you can focus on and actually having that positive mindset. How do people do that when they're bombarded with negativity day in, day out? How do you shut out that noise?
First of all, is make changes that put you in places where that negativity isn't as obvious. So it's very easy to get into the habit of watching the news every night at 6 o'clock on the television and seeing what else has gone wrong today. You know, and the news and news broadcasters will focus on things that are by their nature fairly negative. You know, in the last few days, there's been a train crash in Greece where a number of people have died. There's the ongoing war in Ukraine. There's the reset. You know, all of these things make the news. So I watch the news, but I don't watch it every day, and I don't watch it, and I'm quite happy to avoid it, and because I find that other things will bring that news to me if it's important. If something big has happened in the world, I'm going to hear about it anyway.
Okay, so let's explore that. A lot of people will watch the news because they want to be kept abreast of what's going on so that they can make smart decisions. If there is news out there that is really important and perhaps would affect the decisions we make in the business as business owners, how else could that news come to us, which will perhaps help us avoid certain channels?
Yeah, good point. And we've got a budget coming up in a few weeks' time, and there'll be announcements in that budget that undoubtedly will affect you and I as small business owners. So I think one of the things is to be aware of what is coming so that you can plan to take that news in the best way possible for you. So for the budget, for example, I'm not going to watch the budget or watch the news and try to interpret all of the, you know, the other people's interpretations. I'm going to go to the things I know affect my business. Has VAT changed? Has corporation tax changed? Have any of the rules around how I report those things changed? And my best place for that is the horse's mouth. I'll go to HMRC and look at their press releases to see what I need to know. And their sites are reasonably, you know, once you get used to them, their sites are reasonably well structured so you can find things pretty quickly. So that's
actually choosing your source of information. That's really important.
Choosing the source, yeah, rather than just accepting what's out there. It's important to keep abreast of what's going on in your business and in your market. So there's the other bit is in the market that you're operating in. You know, if you're a marketing agency, for example, I would be looking at the trade associations related to marketing. And looking for their interpretation rather than a news report or news bulletin's interpretation, because it's likely they've done more due diligence on what's important. If you're involved with a business that involves trade unions, you know, be aware of what the trade union's saying. So I'm not saying avoid what's new at all. I'm saying make an intentional choice. Again, this is why I talk about intentional mastery. Be intentional about where you get your news from. But also then find the places where you get the news that isn't reported because it's the positive stuff. How do you find out about people's successes in your business? What are the networks that give you that positive news, the best practice stuff that you can learn from and apply in your business to improve it? And find the people who are doing the sort of business you do really well and build relationships with them. You know, build that network with, you know, Peter, people like yourself who are doing a regular podcast. If other people are looking to do a podcast, talk to them. And I'm sure you talk to other podcasters too to learn what they're doing and keep an eye on what the market in podcasts are doing, for example.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you tend to find, don't you? If you're podcasting, you tend to be in an environment with other podcasters. If you're an entrepreneur, you tend to then have circles of business friends. That's exactly. The way it kind of works. So if people are interested in what you do, they want to know a little bit more about your book, how you got to write your book and maybe connect with you, what's the best way of doing that?
I'm very fortunate, Peter, to have a slightly unusual name. So William is this easy bit, Buist, B-U-I-S-T. You find me at williambuist.com. I've got the book, which is called Intentional Mastery, and that's available in all good bookshops and Amazon and all the usual places and on williambuist.com as well. And one other thing, if entrepreneurs want to know where they stand right now today on the website, I have an audit that very quick, so takes about 5 minutes to answer 20 questions. And I'll produce a report off the back of that that will help guide people to where they should focus their attention. We've talked about focus quite a lot. And what I hope to do is guide people to focus on the bit of the business that will make the biggest difference. And they'll find that if they just put the word audit and then .williambuist.com, that'll take them straight to it.
Wonderful. Thank you, William. Now, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please make sure you like it. That helps us in terms of the rankings and everything. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. And if you know anyone that would benefit from today's or any other episode, please share it with them so that they also can get some development and learning. William, thank you so much for being a great guest. If you want any more information, head over to Bulka.com and get in touch. And remember, failing to learn is learning to fail. Please stay safe. William, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. It's been an absolute pleasure.